On around Thanksgiving, maybe you have a practice, as I do, of cataloging those things for which you are thankful. Frederick Buechner has a book called The Alphabet of Grace, in which he catalogs the graciousness of God from A to Z. And David Rui once turned this into a sermon, and I've always wanted to borrow from that form. And here on Thanksgiving, I have as good an excuse of as any to do that. So here are my reflections for you this morning. They are in the form of a Thanksgiving alphabet. Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. A. A is for angels, those people who show up in my life at just the right time and offer exactly what I need. God has sent them to me at every stage of my life. Some of them even know who they are. They're teaching me to trust that God will provide in the future. B. B is for the boys in my life, Jackson and a four-month-old canine maniac named Gus Gus, who fill our home with light and love. C is for the people who care, specifically the Care for Creation team that has developed new opportunities for us all to be faithful in stewardship of the environment, and also for the Care Connection team that meets with me every month to consider how we can be more connected as a community and more present to each other in times of need. Taken together, they demonstrate that congregations have to be good at both inreach and outreach, building a feeling of belonging and issuing a challenge to all of us to do what's right in the world. Sometimes both of these groups seem to wish that I could do more for them than I am able, but I never leave a meeting with them feeling like I haven't been to church. D. D is for the demons that God has helped me to overcome. They are the fears that I lacked the courage to confront, the secrets I was afraid to disclose, and the terrible burdens that I carried around because I was too wounded to let them go. None of my demons ever departed because I asked politely. They all had to be evicted like bad tenants. And although none of these demons left without a conflict, they all proved to be cowards in a fight. Some I prepared for years to confront, but they fled like bandits at the first sign that I'd found my nerve. I was relieved when each one left, but I also wondered why I let them stay for so long. E. E is for Aaron and for Elizabeth. And while we're at it, the other people who work here, Ken, Kelly, and Les, to say nothing of the teachers in our church school or the employees of our preschool. Ministry is a word that's used to add spiritual value to the work that faithful people do. So it's a grave error, I would even say a heresy, to limit your understanding of ministry to the functions fulfilled by your pastor. Very little ministry would happen here without the contributions of others. Elizabeth is the glue that holds us all together. She handles money and essential communications and everything else that nobody else does. Aaron coordinates a growing constellation of programs from Godly Play to Our Whole Lives, and she's leading our involvement with the 26 Days Initiative to increase gun safety. Ken has built the strongest music program we've had here in years. Almost nobody can see the work that Les and Kelly do for us, but without them, we wouldn't have a clean building or rooms set up for special events. We dare not take any of these people for granted. Their labors are more faithful for the scarcity of acknowledgement that they receive. F is for the funerals that I've conducted here, from Judy Keel to Warren Grant, Dennis Haas, Steve Jones, Henry Havinga, Bertwin Day, Tom Marshall. I'm not going to try to make a complete list. Spending time with them in their final days and receiving their families to remember their lives is among the highest privileges that I've had in this work. G is for godly play and the children who fill our church with wonder and joy. And I'm thankful especially for the teachers who have built a finer program here than in any of the churches I've visited to compare. H is for the saying of hello and also for saying goodbye. Psychologists say that a conversation that begins poorly is not likely to end well. So the startup to any encounter is especially important to our relationships. If you need to talk about something consequential with someone who matters to you, consider how you want to initiate that discussion. Ending things in the right way is very important too, but saying goodbye is harder because we're all prone to avoid the pain of loss or to deny its finality. As Christian people, we say goodbye in the light of God's providence, which gives us hope, if not for another meeting, then at least with the assurance that when we take our leaving, we leave each other to God's gracious care. I is for imagination, that quality of the heart and mind making it possible to dream of a better world and create more beauty all around us. Scripture tells us that all of creation is the work of God's imagination. God made every creature in the first chapter of the Bible. And in the second chapter of the Bible, we read how human bodies were created as sculptures by God from the dust of the earth. And Scripture describes how faithful people dreamed of a future they could not see. You'll have to use your imagination to see the land of milk and honey that God promises the Israelites. How did Jonah survive 3 days in the belly of a whale? Well, I don't know. Use your imagination. Was Jesus born a virgin, born of a virgin, or was he raised from the dead? Get over yourself. It's a mystery. It's sad that so many Christians are too religious to have an imagination. And most atheists are too cynical. J is for Jesus Christ, who I believe is the personification of God's love. God loves us, and to show us how much God loves us, God took on human flesh and was crucified, killed, and buried. Jesus is the embodiment of sacrificial love. I don't believe merely that Jesus is a moral or ethical guide for us to follow through life. Actually, I believe that this gift of sacrificial love has the power to save us from ourselves. I believe in Jesus Christ at the same time that I acknowledge other religions have integrity too. I don't expect you to believe what I believe, but I'm not ashamed to say that I believe in Jesus. Jesus is the promise of grace that extends to all people without partiality, straight from the heart of God. I love Jesus. Deal with it. K is for fake crab meat, the crab that's spelled with a K. I'm not ashamed to say that I love that too. L is for the quality of good listening, which should be a highly exalted attribute in everyone, but is in fact dramatically underappreciated. This is especially important for men to remember, because men, let's be honest, talk way too much. We talk because we think talking makes us look smart. We talk because silence makes us feel anxious. We talk because talking gives us the illusion of control. But mostly we talk because our male privilege has conditioned us to talk. Rarely do we talk because we have something to say. M is for the moderators who have led this church with me. Laura Nelson Loff, George Britton, Phil Jones, Sarah Adams, Henry Reitz, and we can anticipate Nancy Brown. They have led our church away from its obsession with committee meetings and toward a more generous and missional orientation in the world. It would have been easier for each one of them to accept the church as they found it. But instead, these individuals accepted hard work, strategic planning, fundraising challenges, and governance reform. Some of our efforts did not meet with the success that we hoped for, but many of them did. N is for Nanny Hawkins, our beloved French bulldog who died this year. Some people liken the experience of raising dogs to the experience of raising children. I don't. It is true, however, that this is the only creature I've ever actually raised from its infancy. And since I don't have kids, I think Nanny helped me to relate to the sense of delight and wonder that I see in parents who watch their children grow. And maybe it gave me just a taste of the helplessness and vexation that parents feel when they watch their children suffer. O is for community organizing. Not long ago, a developer announced that they were going to build a high-rise tower that would cast a shadow over Old South Church in Boston, a congregation with nearly 350 years of history in the Back Bay neighborhood. The shadow threatens to degrade the church's aging walls by decreasing water evaporation. And the tower isn't going to do anything to reduce Boston's chronic housing shortage. So the ministers of Old South Church have raised hell for more than a year, and they've worked to organize community partners to oppose the property deal unless they could win specific concessions. The church demanded $4 million in water mitigation payments. And they also asked that the developers establish a $15 million fund to support the development of affordable housing. Even the congregation's allies in Boston doubted that the church's request for $19 million was reasonable. Just where are those poor developers going to find $19 million out of a billion-dollar project? I don't know. But the church's leaders held firm. And they announced in a letter to the developer that they were more than happy to trade, quote, some beauty and aesthetics for a city that is more just and merciful toward the poor. The result was that the church reached an agreement to join the city's housing and neighborhood development team, giving them a seat at the table where decisions like these get made. And the $6 million that they won for affordable housing and historic preservation was considered a success, too, considering what the developers had originally offered, which was nothing. Thank God for Christians who have a backbone. I hear there's some community organizing going on around here in Grinnell, something about a gun manufacturer with ties to the NRA. I'm sure we can get what we need if we just ask nicely. P is for my brother Peyton, who could have gone anywhere in the world this Thanksgiving, but decided to come rake leaves in Iowa. Q is for questions, because the longer I do this work, the more I realize how valuable they are. We teach children in godly play to embrace the mysteries of faith, and Rabbi Rob Cabelli always raises more questions than he seeks to answer. Pastors like me go to a special school called seminaries, and those schools train us to be experts on everything, from biblical literature to community development. But I've begun to suspect that they've really just trained us to look more confident than we actually are when we talk about things that no one could possibly understand. I'm a work in progress here, but my best days tend to be those when I ask more questions than I try to answer. R is for resilience. The quality of endurance and spiritual renewal that is so plentiful in oppressed, marginalized, and vulnerable groups of people. It's mysterious to me how some people have a way of hanging in there during tough times and then using whatever breaks come their way to try something else or make something new out of life. Some people, on the other hand, don't seem to be nearly so resilient. But this I've observed. Resilience can be cultivated. Resilience can be nurtured. Having good people around you who care seems to matter a whole lot. And living in a community that offers some structure and stability matters too. They say that good Christian congregations can have positive outcomes on public health, but it actually has very little to do with the money that we give away or the charity we undertake here. It's more about how an appropriately compassionate and challenging community of people can increase the resilience of its members. It's amazing how being loved can increase your capacity to deal with the problems that come your way. S is for Stephen Curry and for other celebrities who have integrity, like Dolly Parton. T is for Tennyson Wolfe, whose methods of participatory leadership have deeply influenced my approach to ministry. His work with us shaped the new initiatives we've committed ourselves to, like the Care for Creation team and the Care Connection team and Godly Play and all of that. He has also helped us to develop a more humane and gracious culture as a congregation. He's the one who told me to stop pretending like I knew all the answers and to trust the self-organizing capacities of faithful people. U is for being underestimated. Many people are inclined to comment on my age when they meet me, which I think is very rude. I didn't expect the pastor to be so young, they'll say, or, boy, do I feel old. This is bewildering to me. I often notice the apparent age of people that I meet, but it hardly ever feels right for me to comment on it. I wish that more people understood this basic rule of civility, that it's possible to think something without saying it out loud. I am the pastor of a mainline Protestant church, which, actuarially speaking, means that I spend most of my time with people over the age of 65. I don't think most of the elders I hang around with would appreciate it if I commented on their age. Wow, this church is full of really old people, I could say. Or, my goodness, being your pastor makes me feel young. But I try not to be snarky about it. Most other professionals don't have it as bad as pastors do. The pilot of your airplane could easily be 27 or 28, but pilots only greet passengers generally after the plane lands and not before it takes off. Your anesthesiologist could be a whimper past 27, but how would you know? You're asleep. I used to take it personally when people commented on my age, but I've come to see that it could be worse. If I were a woman, people would comment on my clothes or touch my body without my permission. And the devil in me has just decided to take advantage of my youthfulness, because it's easier to sneak up on someone when they have low expectations. Besides, I'm not getting any younger here, and one day my age will invite the suspicion of others for other reasons. But by then, I'll be too old for people to comment on it. V is for my vehicle, and also for my vocation, because without my vehicle, there would not have been a vocation. I did some math recently and discovered that I've paid at least $13,000 for gasoline in the past 3 years. My car is a light blue 2009 Hyundai Sonata, which, at considerable cost to the Earth's atmosphere, has enabled me to build a life for myself. It was a gift from my mother after college. Without it, I never could have accepted internships or fellowships in graduate school, nor moved to Iowa to pursue pastoral ministry, nor kept commitments to my family while working in Grinnell. Mobility has created opportunity for me. I'm thankful for that, particularly because I know that so many other people don't have access to transportation. W and X go together in this alphabet. They stand for will and exertion, as in my favorite verse in Scripture, Romans 9:16. So it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who shows mercy. What depends on God's mercy, you ask? Well, salvation, obviously. God's grace is built on an economy that is completely foreign to us. It has nothing to do with hard work or just deserts. You can't earn God's grace, buy it, or deserve it. It has nothing to do with human will or exertion. It's a free gift. Wrap your mind around that. Why is for you. Quite literally, you. Because I could not have been here without you. Without you, there is no ministry here. Thank you for everything that you do to make this such a special place of belonging. Z. The last letter represents the final word. The Bible says that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. That's comforting to me because if God is at the end, then I don't have to worry so much about how things end. There's probably not much I can do about it anyway. Everything comes to an end. The alphabet, a long sermon, a pastorate, a life, and God promises to be there on the final day. That's the point of resurrection. When you think it's over, it's not really over. But this sermon is. Amen.